What did one snowman say to the other snowman?
What?
Smells like carrots.
It's pretty good.
Did you know that's a joke from Lost?
No.
It is. That's how you know that your replacement has shown up for the Swan Station.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
That's some deep...
It's like a code.
That's a deep cut trivia.
Thank you. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of And the Winner Is. We are your hosts. I'm Joey.
And I'm Jen. And this is a podcast about things we like. And today, we are honoring something that happened 15 years ago. Joey, do you know what that thing is?
I do. I do, Jen.
On September 22nd, 2004, Oceanic Airlines Flight 815 took off from Sydney, Australia, carrying 324 passengers bound for Los Angeles, California. However, 6 hours into the flight, the plane deviated off course and disappeared over the Pacific, crash landing on a mysterious island in the South Pacific. This episode is dedicated to those survivors and the people they encountered while on the island. In case you weren't aware, we're talking about the TV show Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking about all of our favorite characters, mm-hmm. whether they were survivors of the plane crash, the others, or other characters that happened upon the six seasons along the way between 2004 and 2010.
I put together, before we get into our top five, I have a list of some of my least favorite characters.
Oh, okay.
You want to hear those?
Sure.
Anna Lucia.
And here, we'll say this too. Since this show ended in 2010, basically all spoilers are
on the table
because you've had about 10 years, 15 total years to watch this show. So if you haven't yet, that's your problem. So yes, Anna Lucia was a pretty terrible character. I agree with you.
Okay, Walt, Michael.
Walt or Michael? Which Both one's worse? Oh.
Oh, probably Walt is worse.
He was a kid.
Walt is more annoying.
Walt is more annoying, but he was special.
Yeah. At least Michael has like a weird twist that makes you hate him.
Whereas like, gives you a good reason to hate him?
Yeah, like, there's a reason to hate him. Walt is just...
He's just an annoying kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack.
Jack Shepard is the hero of the story.
I know.
But I absolutely hate him.
Oh, Jack is so bad.
He is not likable. I think that's what's funny about Lost, is that all of, like, the really main characters, I kind of hate the most.
There's so many characters on the show.
That's the good part. This was quite a challenge for me because I'm a huge fan of the show. It's my favorite show of all time, and I'm happy to fight with people about it because I know a lot of people hate it. So I'm willing to have that conversation and tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, then my last one is Jacob.
Yeah,
I like the. It's more just the actor. I feel like they could have had a better actor.
Yeah, the actor was unfortunate. And I think with Jacob, it was so much better when he wasn't, like, personified.
When you didn't know, when the mystery was still alive.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's like kind of like a lot of things, I feel like, on that show, like the smoke monster.
Yeah.
It's like, don't ever tell me what it is. There are some things that I think it was very wise of them to keep open-ended, because then you can just decide for yourself.
Yes, yes. I was trying to think of who would I have been okay with playing Jacob. I thought of Jeremy Irons.
I don't know what he looks like.
He plays Scar.
Yeah, I knew he played Scar, but I don't know what he looks like.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His voice would be too menacing for Jacob. Jacob is the lightness to the Man in Black's darkness.
How about the guy from The Truman Show?
Jim Carrey?
No. Not Jim Carrey, but the guy who runs the Truman Show.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, man. Okay, well, it's not important, but that guy'd be good, too.
Okay. Would you like to start?
Sure. Okay. My number five, kind of like my pie at pre-choice, is a little bit bizarre. It's Ethan Rom.
Are you kidding me? He's on your top five?
Yeah.
Why?
I wanted somebody that was interesting, and he's just so interesting. He's in season one, is it?
He dies in season one.
Yeah, I just feel like
season two.
Right out of the gate, they go through so much hardship, And it's kind of the one of those first moments in the show where I feel like the stakes get super real. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody has their baby stolen. They're taken hostage to have, like, experiments run on them.
Yeah, Claire.
Yeah, Claire's going to have experiments run on And Ethan is just, first of all...
Where's my baby?
you're good. Those are good impressions. I don't know, he's just a super creep. He looks super creepy.
He's a super creep.
And then he starts beating the hell out of Charlie, and then you're thinking, what is going on here? It just adds to the... it raises the stakes in mm-hmm. a really real way.
Yeah.
So Ethan Rom is my choice for raising those stakes.
Okay. So Ethan, for those who are unaware, is an other. He was not on the plane, but he pretends to be a survivor of the plane crash in order to infiltrate the survivors to kind of figure out who they are so he can bring intel back to the others, the people who already live on the island. And then when they find out someone on the plane is pregnant, Claire... they steal her so they can do experiments on her to see if her baby is going to be born safely, I feel like, is the short version. And then someone ends up killing Ethan.
I think it's Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Charlie steals a gun. He steals, like, Sawyer's gun or something.
And
shoots the F out of him.
And I just feel like the way that Ethan is sent to go get them, how we later find out, is just super robotic. Mm-hmm. Like, when Ben just tells him, they see the plane overhead, Ben looks at him immediately. It's like the first words out of his mouth. Ethan, go. Find out if there are any survivors and get intel. And Ethan just goes. And all of a sudden, and you at that point know what happens to Ethan, but it's just, oh, super creepy.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say before I start my list. Okay. What I like about the characters on Lost is that they are all very complex. And it's a show that shows people, I feel like, in a very realistic way, that no person is 100% good and no person is 100% bad. So it shows, like, the flaws, and I really enjoy that, because that's, at certain points you're like, oh my God, I hate this character. Like, I hope they get killed off. And then 20 minutes later, you're like, oh my God, I feel so bad for this person. Like, now I have their backstory. Now I kind of understand them a little bit more.
It totally, I feel like it's the ultimate character development TV show. I can't think of a show that has,
so good.
You know, better character development in their characters for the reasons you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so gray, and your concept of a specific character gets totally shifted around, or mm-hmm. can take a 180 from one episode to the next.
Yeah.
Once you have that backstory. Yeah.
Ooh, man, yeah.
So good.
And so I guess my number five is kind of, it's not like an Ethan, but it's kind of similar. Mine is Miles Strom.
Yeah.
And he comes to the island in season 5. Is it season 5? Or is it season 4? I think it's... God. I don't know. I don't remember. But he is basically a spiritualist, I guess. And so he can't communicate with the dead, but he can hear what the dead were thinking as they died.
That's pretty terrifying.
Which is pretty scary, but
a bad superpower.
That is a really bad superpower. But he comes to the island in order to help figure out how people on the island died. And he's doing this to, like, help Charles Widmore. And what I like about Miles is he has this superpower where he could, like, really help people and, like, help people find closure and do all of these things. But he does it for money, which I think is just... so fun, like, so perfect.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a slime ball. He's kind of like Sawyer in a sense, where he's not very nice and he always has these one-liners, but he adds a lightness to the show. And then he adds a secondary layer when we find out in the flash, what would this be called, when they end up back in the past. Some of the characters end up back in 1977, I think it is, and he's one of those people. And that's where he meets his dad, who is the Asian guy from all of the Dharma Initiative videos.
That'd be a trip.
And so his story is really interesting, and I really like him. And at the very end of the show, you see him getting on the plane and leaving and hopefully getting off the island for good.
Yeah, no kidding.
So anyway, I really like him because he's funny and he can talk to ghosts, which I think is cool.
Super cool. Yeah, I really liked him too. All right, my number four is Saeed.
Okay. Saeed is my number one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, okay. Then I'm going to let you talk about Saeed.
No, we can talk about Saeed together. Why is he your number four?
I just... So he's like the Muslim Jack Bauer, right? Or yes. James Bond.
Yes.
Or he's also kind of Hermione in the sense that, or he's like Hermione in the sense that I feel like the people on the island or our main crew that we're following, they would be totally screwed without Saeed.
They would be super screwed.
His skills come in handy so often. Former communications officer of the Iraq military or something like that.
Yeah, the Iraqi Republican Guard.
And he's a mechanical engineer. He's got communications experience. He also has, I guess we'll call it enhanced interrogation.
He's a torturer.
Yeah, he's tortured people, which that's not the skill. The skill is he also knows how to elicit information from people.
Yeah.
Which all of these things turn out to be supremely useful.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they make, you know, Jack, of course, being a doctor is also incredibly useful. They are probably the two most quote-unquote useful people on the island. For some reason, Jack becomes that de facto person, becomes the leader. But Saeed would...
Well, it's because Jack's, like, an attractive white man. And so people are going to trust him more because people don't trust Saeed at all.
Is that right?
I can't remember. Because it's 2004.
Yeah.
And they all find out that there's a fugitive on the plane. And they all just assume that it's Saeed because he's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because classic. He's from Iraq.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. But he's so great. He's got such a good heart. And he becomes friends with a French woman, which is just what a feat to be able to do that. And he falls in love with someone on the island and then unfortunately watches her die, which is really too bad. But
he's got a tough life.
Yeah. I mean, basically everything you mentioned. But
I think he's done too many bad things, I feel like, in his life to be the person to protect the island in the end.
Well, yeah, and he ends up dying. He ends up sacrificing himself to save everybody else.
Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they end up in a submarine, naturally. And at this point, he has been overtaken by the man in black. And so part of him is evil at this point. And he's like realizing that, and he knows he's not himself anymore because they like drown him, but then like the man in black brings him back to life. So then it's just like not really Saeed at this point.
Oh yeah.
And he's just kind of like dark and scary, but like a little piece of him still lives, and he's like, I should not survive this. And so he takes the bomb and he runs to the other side of the submarine, and it blows up and he dies, but it gives them an escape to get out of the submarine. Unfortunately, not everybody makes it out.
No.
That is probably the hardest scene to watch. But I really like him because he's a really good person, I feel like, in the end, despite all of the horrible things he's had to do.
Yeah.
And he's just... If I had to choose anyone to be stuck on the island with and someone who I would want on my team, it would be Saeed.
It would probably be Saeed for me too, actually.
Yeah.
Saeed or Jack, but I think I would choose Saeed because I would not get along with Jack.
No, and Jack is just, he's awful. He always has to be right. He's super obnoxiously sensitive and like he's a baby.
Jack is a huge baby.
He's like, live together, die alone, but only if you do it my way. I just hate him.
Yeah, Jack's terrible.
Okay. All right.
Your number four.
My number four is James Ford. Also known as Sawyer.
Sawyer. Okay, he's my number two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm,
all right. So, James Ford, Sawyer, what's he doing in Australia? Why is he even on this plane? You would think when you hear him talk, like, he doesn't seem like the worldly type. He was in Australia to kill a guy. And he does. It's the wrong guy.
Uh-oh.
He kills the wrong guy. And what I like about Sawyer is that he is one of those people that you, like, really hate. Like, at first, you're like, why is this guy such an asshole?
Yeah.
Like, he's mean to everybody. He's nasty. He's snarky. He calls everybody names. And then you come to learn his backstory, which is his dad kills his mom. Then he kills himself on Sawyer's bed with Sawyer hiding underneath the bed. And it's because his mom got conned. And then his dad killed his mom and then killed himself, leaving Sawyer to spend the rest of his life searching for the man who conned
his family.
His family.
Yeah.
And so it was like those events that happened when he was eight, like set up the rest of his life. But luckily, he crashed on this island, so he had the opportunity to kill the man who did this to his family. So he does get closure.
Is that man on the island?
Ends up on the island. John Locke's dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot that it's John Locke's dad.
Yeah, so he kills him. And he's got a lot of great lines. He falls in love, too. He loses the love of his life. But I think my favorite scene of his is like where he really shows his true humanity, that he really is a good person. Because he's about to leave. He's going with Michael to like try and save Walt. They like build this raft. Or no, they're not saving Walt. They're just trying to leave. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get rescued. And before he leaves, he tells Jack that he met his dad in Australia before his dad died. And he like tells this really sweet story about how proud Christian, that's Jack's dad's name, was of Jack, but he just never had the courage to tell him and all this stuff. And it's just like A plus acting from both of them, because yeah. Jack is like crying and Sawyer is just like telling him like it is, but he's like, and he's trying not to get emotional about it because he knows how much it means to him, and they hate each other, which I love that tension.
Yeah.
So I think he's a very, very good guy at heart. And I just find him very funny. Oh, and he's well read. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love those glasses.
Those glasses. Yeah.
How about when he also jumps out of the helicopter so that other people can escape the island that he's been trying to escape this whole time?
Yes.
And then they can leave, but he has to stay.
And then he stays. Yeah. And even before that, he saves the baby, gives the baby to Kate to get on the chopper. Then he also is able to get on the chopper, but then he jumps off.
Yeah. They should be singing his praises.
I know. But the benefit in the end is that he gets on that final, the plane. And seemingly leaves.
At the very end, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Richard and Miles.
He deserves to get out of there.
He absolutely deserves to get out of there. So yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Great reasons all around. he's basically, this series is Han Solo to me. He's so charismatic and mysterious and complex.
Yeah. He's got such a great character.
It's just like whenever he's on the screen, you just want to see more of him. I really wanted him to be the Geralt in the Witcher series.
He would have been so good as Geralt. He would have been
so good. But,
and I feel like he's more of the right age.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty much it. It's fun to see him go from the anti-hero to just basically become the hero.
Yeah.
The scene where he is conned into killing Locke's father?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That is an amazing sequence.
Yes.
And I also like the cages sequences.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's with Kate.
Ugh. Terrible character. Another terrible character. Yeah, she is never a good person. She is always a bad person. And she's super selfish.
Yeah, Kate's bad.
She's all around terrible.
Great actress.
Okay, great actress. She's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. My number three?
Yep.
Did you do yours?
Oh, no.
Okay, you do yours.
Oh, was yours number three Sawyer?
No, my number four was Sawyer. But you've been going first.
Okay, my number three.
My number four was Sawyer.
And then what's your number three?
I haven't done it yet. Because you've been going, you started. So now you say you are number three.
Okay. Richard Alpert.
Oh, Richard Alpert.
Yeah, love me some Richard Alpert. I mean, first of all, it's got to be said. What is going to be my first comment about Richard Alpert?
You're going to say his eyelashes are amazing.
Yep.
It looks like he's always wearing eyeliner.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it looks like he's always wearing eyeliner. Yes, he's got great eyes. But I just find the whole concept of him being chosen by Jacob to be kind of Jacob's right-hand man and be immortal really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So he's been there since like the 1800s.
Yeah, for a long-ass time.
For a long, long time. He was a slave for a while, I think, or something like that?
Yes, he was sold... Or wait, hold on. He accidentally killed a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was going to be hung, but then they're like, hey, we need slaves. So he gets put on a slaver ship, and then that's how he gets to the island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just find that really interesting, I guess. That's pretty much it. I find it also really cool that he wants to get off the island so badly, but can't, because essentially he's Jacob's prisoner in a way. Even though he's Jacob's right-hand man, he's also his prisoner in a sense. So it's really great that he gets off the island.
And he gets off, yeah, and he starts aging.
Yep.
And then at that point, when he starts aging, is when he decides he actually wants to live. Because he feels like he can finally be alive.
Yes,
because
exactly. He's not, it's like, the curse sentenced. Of immortality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Richard. He's so interesting. There's so much more I'd like to know about him. I was glad they dedicated an entire episode to him in season 6.
Totally. He could have had his own side series, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Okay. My number 3, the only female to make my list, is Juliet.
Okay.
And Juliet is a character that people, I think, really love to hate. But because you just can't figure her out. Like, you think she's bad, and then you're like, oh, wait, she is good. But then she's bad again, and she makes all these really weird decisions, and you just never can really figure her out. But I love when you get her backstory, and you learn that she's a fertility doctor, and she's just, like, the sweetest, most wonderful human being alive. But she gets to the island, and it just changes her, and she, like, becomes super manipulative, and she, like, learns all this stuff from the leader of the others on how to manipulate people, and she's just... Probably, if you had to pick, like, a very badass female character without being too on the nose, like Anna Lucia.
Yep.
She's just, like, stupid. I would say Juliet, because she's smart and she makes really hard decisions. And she manages to nail down Sawyer as her man. Which is just, doesn't make sense at first, but it's actually perfect.
Oh, she nails down Sawyer as her man, like, as a, like, a couples?
Yeah, they're BF and GF.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do think Kate might be better for him.
I don't.
Well, well, let me say this. Kate is an initial better match, but she is much better for him.
Juliet makes him a better person.
Exactly. I'm totally agreeing with that.
Yeah, Kate would just...
It'd be like birds of a feather.
Yeah, they'd be like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
Just causing problems.
Yeah, but they wouldn't enhance each other.
Yeah, Juliet makes Sawyer better.
Agreed. Juliet could be a leader.
She should have been the leader.
Well, Ben is a great leader.
Yeah, Ben is a great leader. I think my favorite scene with Juliet is when she reveals that Sun is pregnant and it might be another man's baby to Jin. And Jin doesn't speak English, but he's been with these people long enough that he understands. And he's like, and he just like kind of starts, or she like kind of starts ruining their relationship. And I just feel like you see why, the reason that she does it is to like show everyone the stakes of the fact that Sun is pregnant and like Jin deserved to know the truth. And it wasn't exactly right, but she just like makes that choice to do that. Just kind of owns it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. And then shortly after that, then she gives Sun an ultrasound and then finds out that Jin actually is the father. So it's all great. It's all good.
It's all gravy.
But it's just a very sweet sequence. So I think she's a wonderful person. I'm sad she died.
Yeah.
But what can you do? She's the one who brings them. She brings them back to present day. She's the reason that they get out of the 1970s.
Because of the sacrifice?
Because she's down there and she's like hitting the bomb. She's like, why aren't you going off, you son of a bitch? And then everything goes white and then they're transported back.
Back to the future?
Back to the future. There's no DeLorean.
All right, my number 2 was Sawyer.
Okay. My number 2 is Benjamin Linus.
Okay. I was like, wow, okay, no Ben yet.
Oh, yeah. Ben is... I mean, he probably should be my number 1, but I felt like I needed it to be an actual, like, plane passenger, Saeed.
I'm excited now because now I'm thinking we've got the same number 1.
My but number 1 is Saeed.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. No, my character's missing here. Okay.
Okay. I think I know who yours is.
Yeah.
I know. I made a last-minute decision. Okay, Benjamin Linus, I really love him because he's probably the most complex character out of everybody. He's incredibly manipulative, and I just, for some reason, I put a lot of value in people that are really manipulative. I don't know why. I just find it fascinating to see them at work.
To see them, outwit everybody else.
Yeah, and there's so many twists and turns with him. Like, he's, the first time you're introduced to him, he's pretending to be Henry Gale, I'm from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I just love that he's from Wayzata. I don't know why I think that's so funny, but he's not. His name is Benjamin Linus. He's the leader of the others. And he's just got such an interesting story because he's been on the island since he was a kid, but the island has never really accepted him, even though he's given the island everything. Like, the island is supposed to cure cancer, and yet Ben develops cancer. And then he's supposed to have this relationship with Jacob, but he just never really gets there. And it's just all he wants to do is be accepted by the island, and he just never, ever gets there. And then all of these absolutely terrible things happen to him. But in the very end, he still is a terrible person and manipulates John Locke so much. And then all these more terrible things happen. But in the very end, he still ends up on the island as an advisor to the new protector.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which I think is a power move by the new protector.
Yeah. What do you mean a power move? Like, I need somebody to run the shots here?
Yeah, he's like, because he's allowing Ben to stay and give him the role that he always wants, but he's then, like, under his control.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he was probably doing on purpose because he was so overwhelmed by the fact that he was the new protector.
Yeah.
Hugo.
Yeah, Ben is playing three steps ahead of everybody else.
I know. I aspire. 3D chess. I aspire for that level of just like foresight.
Yeah, it's like Game of Thrones with Ben.
Yeah. And no one is on his level.
No.
Except for maybe Charles Whitmore.
Ooh, yeah, maybe Charles Whitmore. Yeah, yeah.
But,
which I found out up until, I don't know, an hour ago. I thought it was spelled W-H-I-T. But no, it's W-I-D. Wid. I thought it was whit. Nope.
Speaking of, this might be a good segue into your number one. Is it not? Who's your number one?
John Locke.
Oh!
Who did you think my number one?
I thought it was going to be Desmond.
Oh, Desmond.
Okay, never mind. Not a good segue.
That's not a good segue. I was thinking,
John Locke.
John Locke. How is John Locke not in your top five?
I find John Locke very irritating.
Oh, okay. No. John Locke is the best character on this whole show.
Is he? Is he, though?
Oh, yes.
Tell us why.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Okay, so ultimately, I feel like the show is about the island and what the island and its mysteries the magic stuff that happens on the island. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And John Locke embodies the mystery of the island more than anyone else because he's tied to it more than anyone else. He has gained this inexplicable power where he's gained the ability to walk where he couldn't walk before.
Yes, the island healed him.
The island healed him. He gets shot and the island heals him.
Well, he just got lucky that it went straight through. It didn't hit any organs because his kidney wasn't there because he gave it to his father.
Yeah. Lucky.
Sure, the island prepared him for that.
Maybe. Yeah, or it was Providence or something like that.
Maybe.
But I just feel for this character more than any other character because his life overall is just one huge tragedy. And you see this tragedy after tragedy, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this character needs a win. His life growing up is terrible. The way he's killed off
is terrible.
Is so terrible. And the worst part is, John Locke is all about faith. Faith in the island. And occasionally, this helps everybody. But more often than not, this comes back around to bite him in the butt, including causing him to lose his own life. He also ends up blowing up a submarine that would also help to get everybody off the island and gain connection with the outside world.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part.
That's his faith doing that. So it's like, oh man, there's so many just interesting dynamics going on with John Locke. I think the best sequence of the series, of the entire series, at least it's the most iconic for me, is the scene where he's pounding on the hatch.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, what's in the hatch? And then the camera, and he's crying, and it's dark out, and it's raining, and the camera pans up. And just as he's giving up, and he's got his hands on this hatch door, there's a light that comes out of the hatch. oh my gosh. And you're just thinking, oh my gosh, what's in that hatch?
Desmond.
It's the ultimate mystery on the show when you first start. Oh, yeah. Gosh, that's so good.
I love two things. I love that later on when Locke meets Desmond and they like have a conversation and Locke says like something to the effect of, I thought it was the island like telling me like I was meant to come in here. He's like, but really it was just you getting up to go to the bathroom. So I think it's like the little,
yes,
the symbols that you make
for yourself.
For yourself. And I'll never forget one of the greatest mysteries of the show, I feel like, was how does John Locke get into the wheelchair in the first place? Like,
oh, yeah.
And then the scene where you see it happen, it's so unexpected. And I just remember, like, feeling, like, the blood, like, leave my body, like, as it happened. Because yeah, it was just like, no way. Horrifying.
Yeah.
It's like the same moment when Ana Lucia and Libby get shot. I had the exact same reaction. That show was so good at making, at turning just like a seemingly boring scene into just like something that you just can't. I mean, if this show was made at the same time as Game of Thrones, there would be so many BuzzFeed articles, I feel like, about it.
Yeah.
It was just like a little bit too early.
A little too early.
For all of that.
But it was still a phenomenon for the time, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Oh, I was going to say, I think he deserved to be the protector of the island.
He did.
Right?
He didn't get to be, though.
He didn't get to be. And I think that's makes it for more interesting writing. So I guess I can't fault the writing for that because that is an unexpected twist and they roll with it. But he definitely deserved to be head honcho on that island.
He did. I like that they made him the bad guy.
Yeah, that's an interesting twist. That would be so, I know we've talked about this a lot of times, but
it would super fun.
It'd be so fun as the actor,
yeah.
Terry. Okay, so played by Terry O'Quinn. And I found out he's the only actor who did not have to audition for the part of a main character.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, they just knew they wanted him.
Wow.
The only one.
High praise.
Right? He won an Emmy for the TV show in 2007. Mm,
definitely
deserved.
Earned. Yeah. Yep.
And then I also found this out, which was brand new news to me, but he was not originally written to be paralyzed.
Oh.
They didn't come up with that idea until they were writing episode 3.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, makes his character so much more
interesting.
Yeah, much more depth. All right.
Okay. All right. My number 5 was Miles Strom. Number 4 was Sawyer. Number 3, Juliet. Number 2, Ben. And my winner is Saeed.
My number 5 is Ethan Rom. My number 4 is Saeed. My number 3 is Richard Alpert. My number 2 is Sawyer. And my winner is John Locke. All right, Jen.
Yes.
We have a quiz for you and for anybody listening who considers themselves a big old Lost fan.
Okay.
So this is from Sporkle.com. You found this quiz. You haven't seen anything.
I haven't looked at the
You haven't looked at the quiz.
I just saw it was 108 questions.
Yeah, we're not going to go through all 108 right now, but if you do want to, you can go take that online. It looks like the average score is 46%. For Lost fans.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you maybe, I don't know, we'll go through 10 questions.
Okay.
All right. Oceanic Flight 815 departed from which city?
Sydney, Australia.
That is correct. And should we give like a 1 second pause just to give listeners at home a chance to think about it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a Lost pro.
Okay.
Okay, this is easy round. What is the name of the group that performed scientific experiments on the island?
The Dharma Initiative.
That is correct. This ship crashed on the island in the mid-1800s.
Oh, no. This is the one that Richard came on.
Yep.
The Black Rock.
It is the Black Rock. Mr. Echo is originally from which country?
Nigeria.
Yes. Okay, we're going to move forward here. What kind of food did Frank Duckett sell?
Shrimp.
Oh my gosh, there's no way you should have known that.
That's the guy that Sawyer kills thinking he's the con man that killed his parents.
Okay, I'm gonna name a couple of this is a nickname created by Sawyer and you have to name who the person it belongs to.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Clean.
Oh, John Locke.
Yoda.
Ben?
Yep. some of these are mean. I don't want to say these. Twitchy.
Twitchy?
Yeah.
Can I have a hint?
Starts with a D.
Desmond?
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel Faraday.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a good one.
Okay, and then last one here. This three-word phrase is heard first on almost all episodes.
Previously on Lost.
That's exactly right. Well played.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we just finished the quiz, and you got 77%. Nice job.
Thank you.
That's without outside sources, mind you, and within the 15-minute time limit.
Yeah, there was a time limit.
So if you think you can beat Jen, go online to Sporkle, check out the Lost quiz.
It's 108 questions.
Yep. See if you can top it.